We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events... You'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, it's Doug Gottlieb. You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, has their fast, free shipping, free roadhouse protection, convenient installation options, and their selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Bridgestone Weather Peak. But did you know they sell other automotive products as well? Wheels, brakes, and suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive. Just go to TireRack.com/sports. TireRack.com. It's the way that tire buying should be. Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 5 Eastern, 12 to 2 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios, TireRack.com. What we get there? Unmatched selection, fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection. Over 10,000 recommended installers, TireRack.com. It's the way tire buying should be. Hope you're doing great. You had a good weekend. Rick Bucher is going to join us in 25 minutes as we'll recap what we saw and kind of give you a little bit of foreshadowing into what could happen in these playoff series. So... I have noticed, I'm not going to name names, but I have noticed that there are people in our industry, and we need to find a name for them, Jay Stu, and Dan Byer, maybe you could as well. Like, the every day there's some outlandish hot take prediction, and, you know, one in 25 of them come true, and so then you toot your own horn. Like, that kind of stuff, there has to be a name for that. Do we have any name for it?
Yeah, they're just like, they just throw a ton of stuff at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah,
so is there something there? Throw stuff at the wall and see if it sticks, guy. Is that too long?
Yeah, no. Spaghetti testing broadcasters? That's how you test spaghetti, isn't it? Is it if it falls off the wall, it's ready, or if it sticks to the wall, it's ready?
Sticks. See what sticks.
How about we call them losers?
Oh!
Oh, come on. Yeah. I thought it was kind of funny. I thought it was good.
It was. I
Sam laughed. Jason gave me a mock laugh. Doug gets silence.
I know you're joking. I want to be really careful. Don't quote you a loser.
Was it Barkley the other day who called somebody losers? And I'm like, you know what? That's just not used enough anymore. People are so sensitive.
You did do that. You did say that.
Yeah. So that's a great use of the word loser.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I'm not going to use a loser, though.
That's right. He actually called the people who are worked up about the eclipse losers. So I think he was calling Dan a loser. But ironically, Dan uses it really well 10 days later.
I wasn't wrapped up in the eclipse. I just appreciated for what it was. I didn't even have a pair of glasses. And then my wife yelled at me when I even looked remotely towards the sky. I don't even think I my eyes above the horizon before she said, "What are you doing? Don't look at the sun."
My eyes.
Sounds like a rock song.
Don't look at the sun. Yeah. What are you doing? Don't look at the sun. That sounds like the first two songs in an album. Song one is "What are you doing?" Second song two is "Don't look at the sun."
I hadn't even looked over the horizon, too.
You are definitely married. That sounds like married people talk right there. If I right. See, what are you doing?
Don't look at the sun. But it was, what, are you crazy?
In the true, and this is why it is married, why it is a perfect married conversation. Because I don't think she cared as much about my eyes than having our son do what I was doing, and then he would do the same.
Sure.
That's why.
No question. No question. The fact that you literally don't matter, except that your son is going to pantomime you and do what you're doing, is that's Married Talk 101. It's Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Let's get to Love or Hate.
What did you love?
God, I love you.
And what did you hate?
Meet these player haters.
Bum, 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 bum. Okay, so this is what we do every Monday. We go around the room. Something we love from the weekend, something we hated from the weekend. Doon, doo, doo. It's easy. What do you got there? Let's stand by. Let's start with you. What do you got?
Doug, you touched off of it, or touched on it off the top of the show. It is Damian Lillard and the Milwaukee Bucks topping the Indiana Pacers. Just with all the negativity around Milwaukee, around Doc Rivers, by no means does this mean they're going to win the series. They will lose games in the series, and heck, they may lose four of them. But for a moment in time yesterday, especially in the first half, like the second half, it actually, it's one of those games where you're like, oh my gosh, they get this, they're within 12. They get this, they're within 11. And they kept them at arm's length pretty much throughout the second half, but you're still kind of involved in it. I just enjoyed the Bucks getting a win, doing so without Giannis, and having Damian Lillard to have his moment. Again, it may not be anything in the long term, may not be anything in the long term of the series, but it was great to see yesterday.
I'm going to do the same thing with the Denver Nuggets. It's like, you know, I mean, they go into the kind of witness protection program of the season, plus Jamal Murray got hurt. But it's just fun to watch them dismantle the Lakers. And the Lakers are like up 10 and they're not stressing at all. And you're like, do they know something we don't know? And sure enough, they do, that we're actually better than the Lakers. And, you know, just that very simple high pick and roll with Jokic and Murray, where it's like pick your poison. And, you know, everybody's kind of running it. You got the guy in the corner, you know, going for a lob, and you have the guy in the wing going down to the corner for a jump shot. So it's like somebody's got to be left open. But just the patience that they have, the no freak out, how they play together. Yeah, the Nuggets were fun. That was definitely something I loved from the weekend. What about you, Jay Stu?
I need to co-sign on that, but I'll go just a little bit more specific. Nikola Jokic is just an amazing person to watch. And I like watching him succeed, not because I like him personally as much as I know that people like Gilbert Arenas and Steven Jackson are yelling at their TV that he is so good. I like that he pisses people off that he's so good. And he doesn't draw attention to himself. You played the soundbite an hour ago, and I know it's radio, and you know we get different listeners every now and so, but James Worthy said this about Jokic.
He's Magic and Kareem on the floor at the same time.
Yeah.
He's a guard. He makes great decisions. Hell of a passer. And then when he wants to be Kareem, he goes down and dominates. So he's a special player that does a lot of things, and your antennas have to be up.
Like James Worthy is not prone to hyperbole. He's a very thoughtful guy. He's been doing the analyst thing here for like 20 years. For him to say that it's Magic and Kareem together, both of those top five players of all time, and he's that together, that has to tell you something, and I love seeing it. Even though it is against the Lakers, the team that I should be rooting for, I just think it's beautiful.
Definitely a beautiful thing. It's easy. Iowa Sam.
Hey, guys, it's Earth Day today. I love it. Non-sports related, okay? Listen.
Are you going to go political?
No. This should not be political.
It's an election season. You're going to go political here.
I'm a tree hugger. I love trees. I love watching them grow. I love planting them. So get out there, plant a tree. Maybe pick up some litter. Just little things you could do today. You could walk to work. That's what I did. And maybe you could fish that aluminum can out of the trash. You know, aluminum has very good recycled value. So Earth Day today, even if it's a meaningless little thing, you're still trying. So love it. Earth Day.
Really?
Yeah.
What, you don't like Earth, Doug?
I do.
Yeah, Doug, you don't like Earth? Why do you got to make this political, Doug?
We're doing a sports show. Well, and you did Earth Day.
Yeah. I love Earth Day.
Okay.
Let me, I need to quote George Carlin. Remember his latter days when he got really dark? Mm-hmm. He's like, all these people, Earth Day, pro-Earth and all this stuff, what we're doing to the Earth. He's like, the Earth will be fine. Humans on the Earth will cease to exist pretty soon, but the Earth will be fine.
You know,
fish that can out of the trash, you know? Maybe we'll last a little longer.
No, listen, I'm not a litter guy, and I'm definitely pro-Earth. Okay, I'm anti-cancer, pro-Earth. I think these are most things most people are, but I'm legit pro-Earth. That was a weird one.
I'm not a pro-litter guy. I don't know many people who are, but it's
right. It's like anti-cancer. Like nobody's pro-cancer.
Sure, but there are people in LA, especially that litter. Thoughtlessly.
That was gonna be my point. Like, if you actually do litter,
you're pro litter.
Does that just basically make you pro litter? I think that it does.
It feels like a 1970s thing because I'm old enough to remember the crying Native American.
He was actually Italian. Did you know that?
Okay.
He was cast as a Native American, but he was actually Italian in real life.
Stay on target.
But they stopped playing those ads, which tells me that we pretty much cleaned up our act. Like, literally cleaned up our act.
Tell that to Angelinos, because I don't think they got the memo, because there's trash all over this city, and it bothers me.
You know,
clean it up.
I'm actually still kind of stuck on the buyer story, where Lisa, his lovely wife, was telling him not to look at the... not to look at the thing. It's one of those things that you do as couples, right? And a kind of a guy thing is like, oh, that tastes terrible. Here, try some. Right? Like, why? Or sure. Something smells terrible. You know, the bathroom smells terrible. You're like, no, go in there. Why do we do that to one another? That's the opposite of a guy. A woman is always going to protect, especially your child, but protect you. Like, don't do that. You get hurt. Yeah. Don't do that. You'll mess your eyes. Whereas the guy's like, but you got to try this.
We also code it in a way, maybe consciously or subconsciously, to say, maybe it's just me, but taste this drink.
Taste
like,
this
I want to make sure that my
oh my God, that's
buds,
terrible. Why'd you have me taste that?
It's empathizing. Like, it's a human connection. It's a suffer with me.
Maybe you've got a virus. And so you're like, well, maybe it just doesn't taste. Maybe there's something wrong with my taste buds. Here, love, you try this. And then, no, that's awful. Then you feel confirmed. Like, yeah, that's what I thought. Good. Nothing's wrong with
that. So, Jay Stu, with your smoking hot girlfriend, okay?
Christina, smoking hot, yeah.
Right. But she's also really cool, okay? She's very cool. So, with her, do you do that? Do you do this? Oh, this is terrible. Here, try this, babe.
Yeah, I do those things. My example is this. When we go out to eat, I'm about efficiency. If I see a full parking lot, I'm going to be like, hey, why don't I drop you off and you can go put your name in? And
definitely.
Then I'll park. And by the time I get there, we'll be that much closer to sitting down.
Yeah.
And she hates that. No. We're going to park and we're going to walk in alone. Together.
Does she make you, do you feel pressure to valet?
Oh, yeah, sure. But that one exchange, though, is a sticking point for us. And now, because I'm generally just an ass, I bring it up every time there's a way to do that. So
as
if we're
should.
Pulling into the Dodger Stadium,
right.
I'll be like, why don't I drop you off, and I'll meet you in the stadium.
Oh, no, you don't want to do that. Wait, you don't want to do that. Yeah, I do want to do it now. No, you don't ever want to do that. We're not going to do that. It's pretty good. Let's get to what we hate. Jay Stu, you generally hate everything. Let's let you start.
The Dodgers beat the Mets 10-0 yesterday, but that really doesn't matter because they lost three straight series at home for the first time since 2017, I want to say. Their last three games before yesterday, they had struck out 32 times, gone 5-for-31 with runners in scoring position, leaving 29 guys on base. The very essence of not being clutch, which has been my problem with this team for many years now under Andrew Friedman. There just isn't a lot of clutch. They play really well from ahead, and they proved it yesterday with a 10-0 win. I really felt for Dan Beyer because Dan had the Dodgers in a survivor pool. That means all they had to do was win three games last week, and they won two. I felt for him, and I sent him a profanity-laced text in the middle of the game on Saturday saying these are entitled expletives, and I'm sick and tired of them.
All right, Dan Beyer, other than receiving expletive-filled texts from Jason Stewart?
Sure. But it also helps Jason. Like, if I lose, then Jason fares better in the – now, granted, we're – one of many in this pool, but it's yeah, I could have had the Dolphins or the Dodgers as the hate this week. But then if we're going to include Monday as part of this weekend, these new Bronco uniforms that came out today, I don't know what is going on. Their throwbacks look amazing. And you know how I know they look amazing? Because they look amazing. Number one. And number two, the Broncos on their own social media page have made like five posts just solely about the throwbacks when there have been about three others with their new uniforms because nobody really cares or likes them or thinks that there's anything different. And I know it may be a losing fight when you're trying to develop new threads, but some of these designs, Doug, when they tell you that it takes 18 months for the full process, some of these look like they were made in 18 minutes. And then just approved right away and passed through. Maybe they'll look different on the field. Maybe they'll look sharper. But we hype up the new uniforms and get excited for them. And a lot of the times they're letdowns. The throwbacks are great, though, that Denver did
they
bring
are great,
back.
But the rest of the uniforms are below average.
Yeah, just it's all right, whatever, you know. So
Iowa Sam, something you hate.
Well, I hate that I couldn't buy pants like I had planned to. My car battery died, which I would have walked to work anyway, you know, for Earth Day. And I don't live very far from here. But couldn't get out to one of those discount stores to buy my pants. So I hate that.
Riveting.
Yeah.
Absolutely riveting.
They're not going to be winners every week, Doug.
You know, I went off on WNBA fan. Now I'm going to go do the same on NBA fanboy, like Thunder fanboy. Like what happens now is because it's not that we haven't watched the Thunder. We haven't watched most any NBA all that intently. But no one takes what's happened over the first 82 to be serious, right? So when you make an assessment over, hey, they're not just going to have the rebounding. They need a second scoring. But what, have you not watched the Thunder? Like, yeah, I've watched them plenty. This is a completely different level of the sport. But the idea that we're paying attention to your team, but it's too late because if we didn't pay attention in game six, somehow our commentary isn't worthy. It's just annoying. Like no one watches the NBA that closely. They just don't. And if you watch the NBA that closely, don't get offended when others do not. Too many games, too much other stuff going on. Anybody else? Anything else you want to get off your chest?
By the way, that what you just said was actually made very clear. You know, Monty Bolaños, she sent out a tweet or an Instagram this weekend with all of the talent from Fox Sports Radio and behind the scenes, just giving a simple prediction for who faces each other in the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
And 80% of the people that work in our industry and are on air that – they said, I don't really watch the NBA, but, and then they made a prediction. I was surprised at how many people are disinterested in the sport, period.
Yeah, I don't know if they're as disinterested as people make it out for them to be. It's almost like the cool thing to go like, it's like when you're a kid. Hey, did you study? Nah, I didn't study. Who needs to study? I didn't read.
You're going
to
wing it.
Yeah, when the truth is you studied.
Doug, you know? By the way, me, you, and Rich Davis all picked the Nuggets over the Celtics, so how about that?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to pick the Clippers, but I just don't know if Kawhi's going to be healthy. And, you know, I think sometimes the easiest answer is...
chalk.
Yeah, like, it's not just the best regular season record, but they won the playoffs, and I think Jamal Murray is amazing. Like, I'm not in any way diminishing Jokic, but it does kind of take up all the oxygen in the room for the other guy. But yeah, I mean, that's not a crazy pick.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events... you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed...
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Thoroughbred Racing is a new and independent regulator, HISA, that is implementing comprehensive reforms. The sport is combining hands-on care with cutting-edge technology to help keep its athletes safe. To learn more, visit safetyrunsfirst.com. That's safetyrunsfirst.com. Just so you know, the picks, our picks on tonight's playoff games, we'll put those in the podcast, guys. Let's put them in the podcast, which the podcast goes live at the top of next hour. So that's at 5 Eastern, 2 o'clock Pacific, a live Fox Sports Radio podcast. Tomorrow, guys, I will be, when Jackson Holliday gets his swing fixed and he starts hitting line drives and balls out of the ballpark, and he's only got one hit in his short-lived Major League Baseball career. I'll make sure to receive some credit because tomorrow before the game, my son Hayes and I, we're going to go have a little sit-down powwow with Jackson and fix his swing. That's what we're going to do. You guys didn't know that, right? You didn't know I was a swing whisperer? Swing whisperer, yes. So, Halos and Orioles tonight, and we'll make sure. I'm not doing it... for my own good and maybe for some altruism, but a lot of it's for Jason Stewart for his fantasy team because he used a very high pick.
Honestly, much higher than it should have been. Like, I'm going to be the guy that takes the best prospect in baseball, even though he's not on a major league team.
Sure.
So, no, I have a lot invested, but I really feel for the kid because I know what goes into a hitting slump. And when you go your entire lifetime of never struggling at something, and then all of a sudden you struggle for the first time on the big league level, look out.
Well, I think he's struggling, and there's a little bit of flaw that they're going to kind of work through. But I think, you know, big league pitching is so unrelenting. You know, so, and you're the number one prospect. Guys are trying to make a point out of things that you just, it's not like you're, when you're playing against high school kids and you're struggling, somebody's going to make a mistake or the defense is going to misplay a ball and you'll be like, it doesn't happen in baseball. It just doesn't happen. Not in real baseball, not in the major leagues. Not in the major leagues. It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. And Rick Bucher joins us. We got, one game in from all the NBA playoff series. We got the play-in obviously done as well. And, of course, you can read Rick's work at foxsports.com, and you can see him on a variety of our shows on Fox Sports 1, including Speak. Let's start with the Celtics, okay, because that first half felt like Nukalush, right, announcing their presence with authority. How much do you feel like the rest of this series is going to mirror game one?
I don't know that it will. The issue that I have is, like, Boston just has way, way, way too much talent for Miami. The disparity is just far too great. I'm not in love with Boston's execution, so I don't really think it's going to be an issue in terms of them getting past Miami. I still could see Miami taking a game and in the series, because Boston has had a tendency to relax at some point in every series early on. But the concerns that I have about Boston making good on being the only team to win 60-plus games during the regular season still very much exist in watching this game, because there's times where I'm like, okay, would you guys stop shooting threes? Like, Miami doesn't have any size out there. You should be able to attack the rim, or at least get threes off of the drive and kick and off of penetration. And show me that you're kind of organized and there's a plan here. It still feels like it's your turn, my turn, a little too often. And obviously the game was out of hand, so you can kind of see that happen. But in spite of it being a blowout, I still watched it. I was like, I still see the same tendencies that make me wonder that when they play a team where the talent disparity isn't as great, are they going to make good on what they did during the regular season?
It's a great question, and I don't really know the answer to it. Joel Embiid's eye, how big an issue is that?
I don't know that it's his eye as much as his just overall condition. I just don't know how, after taking 2 months off, even though it didn't look like he necessarily put on weight, he's just not very good in his ability to stay in game shape when he's not playing games. And I think the other wrinkle that they have is with Embiid being out for 2 months, kind of became the Tyrese Maxey show. And what I'm seeing them try to figure out is, how do we get back to balancing these two elements? They were able to and did that pretty well at the beginning of the year, but it was primarily the Joel Embiid show. And now, with him kind of trying to work his way back into shape, you have to find a way to kind of make it more of the Maxey show with Embiid still on the floor. And I'm just watching them play, I don't get the sense that they have a really good handle on that. And I'm watching Embiid, especially in the fourth quarter against the Knicks. He was, 0-for-5 to get to the free throw line. He looks exhausted, and I don't know how that's going to change, especially with the bodies that New York can throw at him. And so for me, it's not so much the eye. I mean, eye issue aside, I just don't know that Embiid is ready, or the Sixers are ready to carry the weight necessary against the Knicks team that we know, with Coach Thibodeau is going to grind you every minute that they possibly can.
Okay, let's get to the West. Let's start with the Lakers, and obviously they were on fumes in the second half. You got D'Angelo Russell, who once again looked unplayable in the series, missing layups, and we know about some of the defensive inadequacies. But what about LeBron? 7 turnovers in the game, looked like he didn't have anything in the tank, really kind of passive in the fourth quarter when the game was still in question. What's our takeaway from game one looking forward for the Lakers?
That we once again forgot how good Denver is and how the matchups. Like, I mean, we say it every year, right? Like, or the last 2 years, it's like, man, I don't see any matchups that work for the Lakers. But maybe they could. Like, and against maybe some teams they could. At Denver, they just can't. This is the thing that perplexes me about LeBron, which is the passivity with the game still on the line. I get that he's 39 years old. Mm-hmm. I get that he might be fatigued. But he took 2 shots in 9 minutes in the fourth quarter. Yep. Like, at least go down swinging. But he was intent, and he had shot the 3 well in the game. He was, 3-for-5, I think, from 3-point range. 10-for-16 in the game overall, scoring-wise. And yet, it was, I am going to swing the ball to D'Angelo Russell. I'm going to continue to swing the ball to D'Angelo Russell, who was 1-for-10 in his first. Like, at some point, if you are a great player, in some people's minds the greatest player, and the game hangs in the balance, the idea that I would put the responsibility of winning this game on D'Angelo Russell or anybody else is just so baffling to me. I just don't help me out here because I don't understand that mindset. Okay, so you were 10 for 16. Posterity-wise, 20 years from now, people look at the box score and go, oh, well, LeBron had a good game. But in reality, if you watch it, like, why didn't you go try to win the game? I'd rather have you 10 for 30 than 10 for 16, and I'm looking at it going, they have no chance of winning this because LeBron's decided that, I don't know. I don't want to say it wasn't worth it, but this felt like a calculation. Like, I'm good. Let's see if somebody else can win this game. That mindset from a great player is totally baffling to me.
The Mavericks weren't even going against Kawhi, and were non-competitive for half of that game.
Yeah.
How much hope is there for Dallas in the series?
I think there's plenty of hope. The Clippers, again, kind of came into the playoffs. We've seen this over and over and over again, where they're kind of shamed into, we need to make a statement. People think we really suck, so let's make a statement. But they don't sustain it, and they actually, like Dallas, fourth quarter, they're like, got it to 12-14. They were feeling like we have a shot. We can come back on them. And plenty of teams have over the course of this season. They've blown some really big leads. So I honestly, I think they got the best of the Clippers. And Clippers are very much a front-running team. When they get up like that, everybody's feeling good. Paul George is taking contested shots and making them. You turn that around and you make it a possession-by-possession game, and the whole dynamic changes. So I expected Dallas to win the series, and this game, honestly, doesn't move me off of that. Not at this point. I'm going to need to see a little bit more from the Clippers before I jump off the Mavs bandwagon.
Will we see Zion in this series against the Thunder?
I would be shocked. I would be shocked if we did. It could end up being a long series, but considering his history, I find it really hard. And here's the other issue: if he can't go 100%, then he really can't play. He's not, in spite of his size, like he's not posting up and playing out of the mid post and distributing. If he can't face up and attack off the dribble and try to get to the rim, what is he giving you? He's not a floor spacer. He's not a work from the elbow, step back. Like, I can be a threat. I can be a scoring threat from the elbow or the mid post. And if everybody's moving, I'll find the cutters. It can't be LeBron. So I don't expect that he's going to play. And I don't know what kind of impact he would have unless he's 100%. And what we've seen over the course of Zion's career is that it takes him longer, not shorter, to come back from injury.
Rick Bucher. You can check out his work at foxsports.com. See him on Speak. Bucher, the best, man. Can't wait to talk more as the playoffs roll on. Thanks for being our guest.
You got it, Doug.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network. Work.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio, coming to you from the TireRack.com studios. Right after the show, our podcast will be going up. You missed any of today's show, check out the podcast. Just search Doug Gottlieb wherever you get your podcast, and also follow, rate, review your podcast. Again, just search Doug Gottlieb wherever you get the podcast. You'll see today's show posted right after we get off the air. Let's get to the press.
The press.
All right, Danny B., what do you got?
Doug, did you see Tim McGraw this weekend?
I did.
Wearing a Caitlin Clark jersey from the Indiana Fever. And not a jersey, but an actual jersey where his tanned pipes were glistening on stage.
Yes. Well, it also gives proof to the fact that they don't have a men's large available. Kidding. Listen, I'm in pretty good shape. If I was in that good shape at his age, I would never not wear a tank top.
Was there any justification, Iowa Sam, in seeing Tim McGraw rocking the Caitlin Clark actual WNBA jersey?
He's a fan. He was wearing her college colors about a month ago, and now he's got the pro jersey. And good for him. I don't look good in a basketball jersey, but...
Or is this y'all just playing to the crowd?
I think it's a little both.
There's something to that. Oh, show.
I mean, he did one of those, at least one of those concerts in the state of Indiana, so I'm sure it fired everybody up.
And the only reason I bring this up is because Sam got his Caitlin Clark jersey. I thought it was going to be an Indiana Fever one, but it was an Iowa one purchased by Sam's lovely mother.
Yes.
So
I got to rock with the Iowa stuff.
So is there any jealousy because she's all Iowa and now she's wearing things that say Indiana on it?
Jealousy from me? No. She's staying in the Midwest. She's going to be a Midwest gem.
All right. Okay. Moving on. Big story of the day. Zach Wilson traded by the Jets to the Denver Broncos. They're going to swap late-round picks, and the Jets are also going to pick up some of the $5.5 million left on his salary. But Zach Wilson, no longer a Jet. That era in New York is over. He's on to the Mile High City.
I don't understand what Denver's doing.
You don't think that Sean Payton would like to try to turn him around? I think that's what this completely is.
I guess. I don't know. It's just sometimes you just don't have it, you know?
I know. I think we said this last week. Like, I thought that he would go to a place, maybe we didn't, where somebody would want to work with him and take it on as a challenge. And I think that we saw that a little bit with Russell Wilson and Sean Payton, but Payton wasn't going to get himself damaged if it didn't work out. I think it's the same thing here. If Zach Wilson doesn't work out, it's not on Sean Payton's dime. They can just move on from him.
No, that part is smart. Maybe it's just a mess because of New York. But I mean, does anybody sit there going like that guy? I think that guy can get fixed.
Well, he was the second overall pick, and he was thought to be a top 10 pick. Even if the Jets didn't take him when they took him.
Sure.
Jason Stewart?
You know, could I get out in front of a personal pet peeve of mine? And it's really the laziest form of analysis. I call it geography analysis. So over the next 24 hours, one jerk-off is going to say this. Zach Wilson returning home. It'll be good. A good restart to the career. You know, he's returning home. Mountain time zone, the Rocky Mountains. He'll be close to home, so that'll be good for him because he'll be close to home. That sentence means nothing. It's horrible analysis. It's a way to fill like 30 seconds of time on TV.
Agreed.
A buddy of mine back home in Wisconsin, he and his wife lived in Watertown because he taught near Milwaukee and she was still going to school in Madison. So it made sense.
Kind of midway.
Yes. But you also think to yourself, and he said this as much to me as like, it's perfect. You know, we're short way from Madison, short way from Milwaukee, you know, 45 minutes each way or whatever. And he goes, we weren't close to anything. Like we weren't like we were. It was. Yeah, it's still like 45 minutes away if you want to do anything. And who is like, yeah, I'm going to go do that. Or an hour away if you're trying to get into the city. Like, yeah, it's so to that point of you're closer to home. But I wouldn't say just because you're in a similar, you know, range of topography. I'm right with Jason with that.
When Chris Bryant signed with the Rockies, John Heyman, who's the laziest Twitter out there, says, makes sense, grew up in Vegas.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. That's like a 4-hour drive. It's not even close to Vegas.
I know, yeah, by the way, you're like you're an adult. It has longer. It has nothing to do with anything.
Oh, man. There's some drama maybe happening in Seattle, not with the new regime. Well, it does include the new regime, and it's the new regime and the old regime. This had been kind of surfacing late last week, and I saw this in a bunch of Seahawk, you know, areas, Doug. It's now become mainstream. Mike Florio putting an article about it, but Mike McDonald, the new Seahawks head coach, has taken down all of these signs and photos that were plastered throughout the facility that were in connection to the Pete Carroll era. So not only are the slogans of always compete and all in taken down, but Marshawn Lynch's Beast Quake Run, that picture no longer. The tip that Richard Sherman had on Colin Kaepernick in the NFC Championship game, that's been taken down. And some of the former players are taking offense to Mike McDonald's move.
You know what this reminds me of?
What's that?
It reminds me of when Matt Doherty took over as the head coach at North Carolina. Like, he apparently, you know, moved, got rid of Dean Smith's secretary who'd been there forever and moved some pictures around, like Michael Jordan pictures, and people lost their mind. Now, it hurt him that he lost 20 games one year, but that's really what the beginning of why he never had a chance. Like, people get embedded and ingrained in, like, photos and history stuff, and it's a weird thing. You want to put your own stamp around it? Like, do you want to celebrate somebody else's past? That's a weird one, but you might want to check before you take stuff down.
Hey, get out there and press.
That was the press.
Check out In the Bonus. The podcast is available. Doug Gottlieb Show, wherever you download podcasts. It'll be up top of the hour. Have our picks. Have a lot of analysis. We're getting ready for the NFL draft. Plus, we got reaction to tomorrow's game. And my picks are on it for tonight's game. Check them all out. Just type in Doug Gottlieb wherever you download podcasts. This is Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.